Welcome to the Landmark Apostolic Church podcast. We hope that this message inspires you and brings impact to your life. Enjoy the message.
I'm reading here Luke chapter 17 and verse number 11. The scripture records this, and it came to pass, speaking of Jesus, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, could somebody say a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And if the Lord would help me this morning, I would simply preach to us for a few moments here today on simply this, a loud voice, a loud voice. The Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a time to be silent and there is a time to speak. There's a time for everything. There is a time to be still, but there is a time to be loud. And sometimes we need a loud voice. I wonder one more time if you just help me pray and we just ask the Lord to have his way here this morning. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for your presence that we have already felt here today. And I ask, Lord, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint the preaching of your word. I pray, God, that you would anoint every ear and every heart, Lord. Help us to hear and to receive, God. I pray, let there be liberty in the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray against anything that would desire to hinder your will here today. But I pray, God, let there be a freedom of your presence, Lord. Let your word have free course, Lord. I pray, let there be faith that would be in agreement with the word of the Lord. That you would do everything that you desire to do in this house, Lord. I pray it in the name above all names, Lord. You are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and we worship you and we lift you up, oh God. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, one more time, could somebody clap your hands and give God praise? Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. We read here in Luke 17 of Jesus doing something that was very unusual. That when the Bible says he passed through the midst of Samaria, this was really an eyebrow-raising sort of thing for a Jew of that time to do. Because in that day, the Jews, they despised Samaritans. I mean, they didn't just dislike them. They hated them. They didn't want to have anything to do with Samaritans. And so it was the more convenient path to go through Samaria. That was the main highway. But Jewish people would bypass, and they would take the alternate route, the longer route. They would inconvenience themselves because they wanted to avoid being anywhere near Samaritans. Didn't want to walk the same roads, didn't want their sandals sharing the same dust as Samaritan sandals. They didn't like them at all. And so when the Bible says Jesus passed through, this was an uncommon thing. And it's recorded in John 4 and verse 4, where Jesus himself said, "I must needs go through Samaria." There was something about Jesus in his life and in his ministry that so often compelled him to go near those that everybody else was trying to distance themselves from. It was over and over we find Jesus in scenarios and situations. He was fellowshipping. He was in the homes and the houses. He was near those that everybody else was trying to distance themselves and they despised, and those that were dejected. Yet in Jesus, his life, he was drawn to them. He was close to them. And so here it was that he's making this unusual journey, and he's going through this place that was filled with people that his own Israelites did not want to be near. And the Bible says that as he was making this unusual journey, that on the outside of a certain village, there were 10 men who were lepers. And to be a leper, anybody heard about leprosy maybe in Sunday school? And if you were a leper, this was a miserable place in life to be a leper. You received the disease of leprosy. Anybody heard, they talk about when a guy is sick and they say he's just being a little dramatic. They say, well, he just got man flu. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't really believe in that. I don't think guys could be dramatic like that. Leprosy was no man flu. It was rotting their flesh. It was decaying their body, and there was no cure for it. There was no medicine that could make it go away. And so often leprosy was a life sentence of misery, because according to the Old Testament law, if you were a leper, you had to leave your family and your home. You could not live in society. You could not live in the town, but you had to remove yourself. And you were now in isolation. And in fact, the Old Testament law required that if anybody came near, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. You had to let people know, don't get too close to me. I'm a leper. You've got to keep your distance. You got to stay away. And so it was this life sentence of misery and you were hopeless. There was no answer for it. And you were isolated. You could not be near anybody. It was a horrible way of life to be a leper. And the only company you could keep was fellow lepers that shared the same place of misery in life that you did. And that's what we find here, is that 10 men, that they were all lepers, and they were on the outside of the village because they were not allowed to be inside of the village. And yet it's evident to me here that even these lepers, who nobody was around them, nobody was talking to them, they were outside of the village, they were all dejected and isolated by themselves, and yet even these lepers had heard about Jesus. That even they had heard that word was traveling and news was spreading all over, that people were finding out about this miracle worker whose name is Jesus. And people are hearing that everywhere that Jesus goes, he's healing the sick, and the lame are walking, and the blinded eyes are opening. And everywhere that Jesus travels, these miracles are taking place. And so word was traveling. It was all over, that even those that were on the furthest outreaches of society were hearing that there is this man named Jesus. And can I just say today that I am so thankful that we still serve a miracle worker. Anybody know that he is still a miracle working God? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still in the miracle working business. I wonder, could anybody testify in the house today? Has anybody here ever seen or witnessed or experienced a miracle? You can look around and you can see the testimonies that our God is a miracle worker. I could just begin to share stories just in the last couple of years, things that God has been doing all over his church at large. It was last fall. I was down in Oklahoma, and there was a young lady on a Friday night. We were in church having service, and I don't even know at what moment in the service it happened, but as people were just worshiping God and the glory of the Lord was moving, she was deaf in one of her ears, and that deaf ear opened up in the middle of that service, and there was no doctor doctors there was not a medical procedure taking place, but it was the power of God that was at work in that place. And that's what I call a miracle, something supernatural disrupted and caused something to take place. I've seen cancer healed. I've seen people get raised out of their hospital beds. I've seen diseases healed. The doctor didn't even know what was going on, but our God is a miracle worker. It was last summer over in Lawrenceville, just on the other side of our state, Lawrenceville, Illinois. There's a great church there pastored by the Donaldsons. And last summer in Lawrenceville, there was a young man named Jesse. And Jesse, he was 30 years old, and he has a wife and two kids. And he woke up one day, and there was a pain in his heart. And he went to the doctor trying to figure out what was going on. And so they did a scan on his chest, and they found, after they had done the scan, they found that there was a tumor on his heart. It wasn't even related to the chest pain. They just happened to find it, and a life-threatening tumor on his heart. And so they told him, you're going to have to go down to Georgia to a specialist and get that tumor removed, have an open-heart surgery. And there was a lady in the doctor's office there who goes to the Apostolic Church, and she told Jesse, she said, hey, you ought to come get prayer at the church. And Jesse, he had gone to high school with some people from that church, and he had visited before. It's not where he attended, but he was familiar with it. And this is just what he told her. He said, you know what? You're right. I should come get prayer. Because he said, at my church, they don't lay hands and pray for people in Jesus' name. And he said, I've never felt at my church what I felt when I visited your church. And so I believe it was the following Sunday, Jesse came, showed up to church and to receive prayer. And Brother Donaldson, the pastor, he didn't even know anything about that. Didn't know this was taking place, had no clue about the story. It just so happened that on that Sunday morning, he was preaching to the church. Church, we ought to have an atmosphere that the miraculous can take place. He was preaching, church, we ought to have an atmosphere that faith can work and that the Spirit can move. And he was preaching, church, we ought to come with expectation to the house of the Lord. And I do believe that we ought to come with expectation when the church gathers together. We ought to come with expectation. Hey, I don't know who's going to get saved, but I know he's a Savior. So I just come expecting that somebody could get saved today. I don't know who needs to be healed, but I know he's a healer. So I did come expecting that somebody could be healed today. I believe we ought to come with expectation to the house of the Lord. And Brother Donaldson was preaching that on that Sunday morning. At the end of that service, Jesse came down and they laid hands and they prayed for him in Jesus' name. And then how do you know what happens praying for a tumor? And so everybody kind of went their way and went home. And it was sometime later that Jesse went back for a follow-up appointment at that same doctor's office, and they did another scan, and they came back and they said, we're not finding a tumor on your heart. And it worried them. They said, this is not good. You need to get in your car right now and drive down to Georgia and see the specialist immediately. Drive overnight, they told him. They were very worried about it. So he got in his car, immediately drove down to Georgia, got there about 3 o'clock in the morning. At 5 a.m. they rushed him in to see the specialist, and they did another scan on his heart, and they came back and they said, this is not possible. They said, there is no sign of a tumor on your heart. I tell you, he's still a miracle worker. Can I tell you, God still works in impossible situations. You may be facing a mountain. You may be facing an impossibility, and there's no other answer, and there's no other hope, but we serve a God that there is nothing impossible for him. And so this takes place, and it was July 30th. I remember it because it was the Sunday after NAYC. Brother Donaldson invited Jesse. He said, hey, I would love for you to come and share with the church what God has done for you. And you know what happens when God does something in somebody's life? They start telling other people. Hey, I got to tell you, this is what God just did in my life. I believe we ought to tell people. If you got a testimony, you ought to let people know. Let me tell you what God's been doing in my family. Let me tell you what God's been doing in my life. And so Jesse told so many people that on July 30th, he brought 30 first-time visitors to Calvary Apostolic Church in Lawrenceville, Illinois, to hear about the power of God and what God had been doing in his life. And can I tell you today, I believe that everybody ought to know that there's a body of people in Sparta, Illinois. There's a church in Sparta, Illinois that believes in the power of God and that believes in the name of Jesus. I wonder, is there a church here today that believes that you can walk in sick and you can walk out healed, you can walk in bound, and you can walk out delivered, you can walk in lost, but you could leave saved? Oh, if you believe that this morning, would somebody clap your hands unto the Lord? And so these lepers, having heard about Jesus, this miracle worker, they recognize that this is our moment. Jesus is passing by, and we don't have any other option. We don't have any other answer. If we don't get the attention of Jesus, then we really don't have anywhere else to turn to. And so the Bible says that with Jesus passing by, they begin to cry out unto him, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They cried unto the Lord. They begin to use a loud voice. They begin to get a little bit loud, and they weren't worried about what anybody else was thinking. They weren't worried what somebody else might overhear or what somebody else might say. They just recognized, I need to get a hold of God. I just got to lift up my voice because I need Jesus to touch me. You know what I find very often in the miracles that Jesus performed? You read through the Gospels, and very often Jesus performed miracles for people that were using a loud voice. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 20 that there were two blind men, and they were in the midst of a multitude of people. Bible says a multitude of people is there, but two blind men, they begin to cry out that same prayer, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And it's evident to me that they were using a loud voice, because the Bible says the multitude around them, you know what they did? They told him, "Hey, would you be quiet? You're kind of getting a little bit loud. You're kind of disturbing the atmosphere right now. We would really rather you just kind of pipe down a little bit." Bible says those two blind men, they refused to be silent, but they continued to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on us," until Jesus heard their cry and he opened their blinded eyes. Amidst of a multitude, I know in a multitude there were other needs that were there on that day, but you know who the need was met for? It was somebody that said, "Hey, you can worship if you want to or not. I just recognize you can't do for me what Jesus can do for me. I got to get a hold of Jesus. I need the attention of Jesus." It's recorded in Mark chapter 10. There was blind Bartimaeus. I heard of Bartimaeus, old blind Bart, they say. He was a beggar on the highway. He could not do anything but take whatever was given to him. He could not work for himself. He relegated to this low place in life. And the Bible says that as Jesus was leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus recognized, "This is my moment. This is my opportunity. Jesus is passing by. And if I could get the attention of Jesus," could I tell you today, this can be your moment. This could be your opportunity. If you would recognize, I don't have anywhere else to turn to, but I can turn to Jesus. And Bartimaeus began to cry out again that same prayer, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And it's evident to me that Bartimaeus, I think he was using a loud voice, because the Bible said the people around him, they told Bartimaeus, "Would you be quiet? Bartimaeus, would you turn the volume level down? You're getting a little bit too loud." But the Bible says so much the more he continued that same cry, "Son of David, have mercy on me," until Jesus heard that cry and he answered his prayer. Recorded in Matthew chapter 15, there was that Canaanite woman. Canaanite, that means she didn't come from the right background. She was not an Israelite. She didn't come from the right pedigree, wrong side of the tracks. There was probably some dysfunction in her family. Probably some things going on very unpleasant in her family tree where she was from. She comes unto Jesus. The Bible says she began to cry unto him, saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, I need you to help me. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. You know what Jesus did for that woman? The Bible says he answered her not a word. And if that wasn't bad enough, the Bible says the disciples, they said, Lord, could we send her on her way? She crieth after us. They're saying, Lord, she's getting a little bit too loud for our liking. We'd like to just kind of get her on out of here. And then finally, Jesus answers to the disciples and he says, I'm not come but for the lost house of Israel. It's not her time yet. She's a Canaanite. I'm not really here for the Gentiles right now. I'm just here for Israel. It's not the moment yet. And you know what that woman did in response to all of that? The Bible says she just worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. There was a persistence in her that could not be denied. Jesus said, it's not good to take meat from the dog master's table and give it to the dog. She said, truth, Lord, but if I could just get a crumb, if I could just get a touch, I don't need the whole world, God. I just need this little thing, and I know that you're able. There was a persistence in her that said, I may not have heard the answer the first time, but I'm just going to pray again. I'm just going to ask again. Could I preach to somebody today? You just get a persistence in your spirit that says, hey, I may not have heard it answered just yet, but I'll go ahead and pray again. I'll go ahead and worship again. I'll go ahead and ask again. Come on, the door may not have opened just yet, but I'll go ahead and knock one more time. Until Jesus looked at her and he said, woman, great is thy faith. Anybody ever, you know, this woman, it was not the protocol for her to come to Jesus. That's what he was saying. Hey, it's not really, this isn't really protocol. This isn't really the norm. You're a Canaanite. But sometimes you just got to get past, well, I don't really know what the norm is. I don't really know what the protocol is. Anybody ever been in a service and it's just kind of one of those services where people are just kind of going through the motions a little bit? I know it doesn't happen here ever, praise God, but I've been there. You've been in one of those services and it's just kind of one of those, just kind of checking the box a little bit, but there's something in you that recognizes, I need to get a hold of God. I need a word from God for my family. I need God to touch my situation. I need God to move in my circumstance. And you just kind of slipped out of where you were and you just kind of came down to the altar all by yourself. You weren't worried. You weren't trying to be seen, but you weren't worried about it. You just know, I need to get a hold of God. You kind of stepped out of your comfort zone a little bit, and God began to meet you in a special way. Anybody had an experience like that before? You kind of had to get past yourself a little bit. You kind of had to quit worrying what anybody else was going to think about you. That there's got to come a time in your life. There's got to come a time of desperation in your faith that says, hey, I don't know what everybody else is going to do. I just know as for me and my house, we got to get a hold of God. I just know as for me and my house, we got to worship the Lord. We serve a God that desires to work in our lives. He desires to work in our situation. He wants to show himself mighty and he wants to show himself faithful. But there's got to be something in you that would initiate towards God. God wants to send revival and God wants to open up the windows of heaven and God wants to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. Come on, it doesn't matter where you're at in life. You have not exhausted the power of God or the resource of God. He wants to show you who he is. But there's got to be something in you that initiates towards God. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that cometh to me, Jesus said, shall never hunger again. He wants to give rest to the weary. He wants to satisfy the hunger of your soul, but you got to come unto him. You got to come unto him. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. He wants to be near you, but there's got to be something in you that would draw near unto him. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to forgive every sin, but there's got to be something in you that would confess. There's got to be something in you that would open up your mouth and draw near unto the Lord. But I can tell you of the word of the Lord, he is faithful and he will hear your cry. He will hear your prayer. It may be like the Canaanite woman. You may pray once, you may pray twice, you may pray three times. But if you will draw near unto him, he will hear your prayer. And so it was, these 10 lepers, they've cried unto the Lord, and the Lord has heard them, and the Lord answers them. We read it there, verse 14, Jesus answers their prayer, and he tells them, he says, go show yourselves unto the priests. Go show yourselves unto the priests. He answers them, but it was not perhaps in the way that they were expecting. Not in the way that perhaps I would have expected. It's recorded in Luke chapter 5 that there was a leper that comes to Jesus, and when this leper came, the Bible says Jesus reached out and touched him, and immediately he was made whole. If I was one of these 10 and I had heard that story, anybody ever prayed a prayer and you already had it in mind how the Lord was supposed to answer your prayer? Lord, I've got a need, and I already know the answer to my need. Lord, I've got a situation. I already know exactly what you need to do to touch my situation. I already have the solution. I just need you to kind of do it how I have it figured out. God, I heard about what you did for that man, and I want you to do the very same thing for me. I want it to look the same. I want it to be. I'm crying out, and I'm ready, Lord, that you're going to do it right now. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus gave them a command that required them to act with faith and with obedience. In fact, Jesus didn't even promise them a healing. He simply tells them, go show yourselves unto the priests. It was the priests, the Bible says, that they would declare someone clean or unclean. So if they were going to re-enter, it would be by the determination of the priests. And yet, to a logical mind, might not even make sense to do what Jesus was telling them to do. Lord, I'm still a leper. If I go to the priest as a leper, he's going to laugh at me. He might scoff at me. He's going to say, what are you doing here? You're still a leper. Doesn't make sense that I would go show myself. You haven't really answered what I was expecting. You haven't really given me the answer that I was hoping for. And yet these men, they had such a determination in their faith, and they recognized it. Well, we really don't have any other option. Why don't we just do what Jesus told us to do? And the Bible says that as they went, they were cleansed. And has anybody found it to be true in your life that as you simply walked according to the word of the Lord, as you simply went according to the commandment of the Lord, you watch as doors begin to open and blessing begins to come and miracles begin to take place that you could have never obtained on your own, you could have never achieved on your own, but as you simply walked according to the word of the Lord? God, I don't really understand everything you're asking me to do. It doesn't really make sense. And I don't really see how it's going to work out, and I don't really understand how this can really take place, but I'm just going to go according to your word. I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. Could I preach to somebody today? You just get a yes in your spirit that, Lord, whatever you ask me, I'm saying yes. Whatever you tell me, I'm saying yes. Lord, I don't understand everything that you're doing. I don't understand how it's going to work out, but I'm just going to say yes. I'm just going to say yes. And as you go according to the word of the Lord, you watch as God begins to provide and God begins to work the supernatural in your life. You just got to go according to the word of the Lord.
This is that principle in Scripture that is true time and time and time again, that God does not expect or ask or even desire for us to know the end from the beginning. God expects us to humble ourselves before Him and just say, yes, Lord. Moses, I'm going to use you to do great things. I want to use you to bring my people out of captivity and out of bondage. But God, you don't understand. I'm not gifted. I'm not talented and I'm not qualified. Moses, it's not about your gifting. It's not about your talent. I just need you to humble yourself before me and speak when I tell you to speak and do what I tell you to do. Go show yourselves to the priests. Okay, just going to do what Jesus told us to do. And as they went, as they just obeyed, they were cleansed. And the Bible says that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back unto the Lord. We don't know from the scripture exactly how long it was that they walked. They may have been walking a long time. I don't know how far the journey was, how long of a process it was, but they're just walking. And as they're going, they realize, wait a sec, we're cleansed. And the Bible says that there was one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with, somebody say, a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. I find it worth noting that the scripture is very careful to let us know that when this one man came back to Jesus, it was with a loud voice that he began to magnify the Lord. They were loud in their time of desperation. They were loud when they were down and out and they had no hope and they had no other option and they had nowhere else to turn to. But this one man, when he came back, it was equally so, if not greater, with a loud voice that he was saying, hey, I didn't care who heard me when I had nowhere else to turn to, and I don't care who hears me when I come to say, thank you, Lord, for touching me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for moving upon my life, for answering my prayer. With a loud voice. And there's something that I do find in the scripture over and over about a loud voice. It's recorded just two chapters later, Luke chapter 19 and verse 37. The Bible speaks of Jesus here and says, when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with, a loud voice. For all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. We're reading here. We just celebrated a few weeks ago on Palm Sunday about the triumphal entry Jesus makes into Jerusalem. And so if you recall that there's a lot of commotion that's going on. They've got their garments. They've taken garments off and they've laid them down on the street. And they've got palm branches and they've laid palm branches down. And Jesus is riding in on that colt. And there's all this commotion going on. And the scripture is careful to tell us again that the multitude of disciples, they are using a loud voice to magnify him, and they're praising God for who he is and for what he had done. And these Pharisees here, they evidently did not really appreciate all of the noise and all of the ruckus that was taking place. These Pharisees, that they were religious, you know, they were righteous and they had it all figured out on their own, and they were kind of a little bit better than these lowly disciples making all this noise unto Jesus. And so they come to Jesus and they say, hey, Master, why don't you tell these followers of you to keep it down? Why don't you tell them to quit being so boisterous and just kind of turn the volume down a little bit? And Jesus looked at them and he said, I tell you, if these should ever stop worshiping me, the stones would cry out. Could I tell you, Church of the Living God, we've got a reason to lift up a loud voice and to magnify the Lord. If the church ever stopped lifting up a loud voice, the stones would cry out. I wonder on a Sunday morning, we just take a moment right now. I wonder if anybody believes that he's worthy. I wonder if anybody would just lift up a voice of praise unto the Lord in this house. Come on, Lord, you're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we as Pentecostals sometimes, we get the connotation, you Pentecostals are loud. Have you ever heard that before? You Pentecostals, you get a little carried away. Anybody, or am I in a Pentecostal church? Okay, anybody been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost? Anybody had a Pentecostal experience in your life? I'm a Pentecostal. And I've heard it before, you know, you Pentecostals, you get a little carried away, you get a little crazy, you get a little over the top when you have church and when you worship. But could I tell you this morning, we don't worship the way we do because of a denomination that we're a part of. We don't worship the way we do because of a name on the church sign. That's not why it's not about what the generate. Well, we just do what the generation before us did. No, it's not about just a tradition that we come from. We believe in the word of the Lord. We exalt the word over every opinion of man, over every philosophy of this world, over the rudiments of this world, over vain tradition and religiosity. We exalt the word of the Lord. And what we find in the word of the Lord is that God has given us some instruction. This is how you ought to praise me. This is how you ought to worship me. Anybody believe in the word of the Lord? Do I have an amen that there's some Pentecostals that say, hey, we believe in the word of the Lord. And Almighty God, our Creator, has told us in his forever settled word. He said, hey, this is how you ought to praise me. Psalm 47 and verse 1, the Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I don't know how you obey Psalm 47 without using a loud voice unto the Lord. Psalm 98 and verse 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. I have anybody that has said, hey, we just believe in the word of the Lord. I don't worship the way I do because, well, this is what our church did or this is what my father. No, hey, I'm just saying, Lord, I believe the word of the Lord. I'm just reading to you the word of the Lord. Psalm chapter 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. I'm going to come to a close very quickly. If there's some music that could help me this morning, I'm going to come to a close. Come on, I'm just preaching to you, church. There's a time when we need a loud voice. There's a time when you got to lift up a loud voice saying, hey, I'm not concerned with what anybody else thinks. You may be in a circumstance where you don't know what else to do and you're not sure what the answer is. I would tell you, you ought to lift up a voice unto the Lord that simply says, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the solution is, but I know Jesus can do anything. So I just got to get the attention of Jesus. But I'm not just preaching to somebody that's saying I'm desperate for a miracle. I'm preaching to everybody. I'm preaching, where are the nine? Jesus said, I thought I had done a miracle for 10, and yet there was only one that found their way back to lift up a loud voice unto me. I wonder, in the house of the Lord today, is there anybody that would say, hey, God's been faithful to me. God's been good to me. No matter whether I'm on the greatest mountaintop or I'm in the lowest valley, I've got a reason to lift up a loud voice and to magnify the Lord. I've got a reason to lift up a loud voice and to give God praise. Oh, would you stand with me all over the house? Hallelujah. It was last spring. I was in the country of Namibia. It's a country in southern Africa. We were having dinner on a Saturday night. We're getting ready to have church the next morning. That Saturday night, there was a group with us, and there was a young lady in that group. Her name was Joycey. And Joycey, she was very introverted. Any introverts here today? Introverts don't even want to raise their hand. I know, because I'm an introvert. It was just obvious Joycey was introverted. Like I said, I recognize it because I know it. And the next day, Sunday morning, we had church, and Joycey was among those that had made her way down to the altar. And if you're introverted, you know, sometimes just coming down to the altar is a big step. It's out of your comfort zone. People are, you know, you're introverted. Keep me in my comfort zone. But there was something in her. She had not before received the Holy Ghost, and she was hungry for God, and she made her way down to that altar. I didn't even have to be close enough to hear her speaking with other tongues. I could see it on her face. When somebody receives the Holy Ghost, the Bible says God's Spirit, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is peace that passes all understanding. When you receive the Spirit of God, it changes everything in your life. And I want to tell you, if you're here today and you never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, it is God's desire to fill you with His Spirit. It is the greatest thing that could ever happen in this world. And so Joycey, I saw her on that Sunday morning. She began to pray, and I could just see on her face that there was a joy that began to well up on the inside. You could see something was transpiring in her world as God filled her with His Spirit. And it was the next day. We were at another house on a Monday night having dinner. We were just talking about things of God and all of that. And we were about to leave. Joycey had still been pretty quiet, but we were about to leave. And before we left, you could just tell it was outside of her personality, outside of her characteristics, that she just kind of piped up, interrupted everybody and said, hey, I just want to say how thankful I am and how glad I am that you came and that God did something in me that I've never experienced before. I'm so glad that He filled me with the Holy Ghost. There's something about when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. There's something about when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of your life. You know, I remember when I was growing up, we used to be able to go walk the altars after church, and you'd go hunting for bobby pins. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You go looking, why? Because there'd be bobby pins all over the altar. Why? Because there was some Pentecostal ladies that got out of their chair, and they just begin to dance before the Lord. And they just begin to dance with all their might, and bobby pins started flying loose, and it got a little crazy. God tell you, it's not just Pentecostal tradition. You know what the Bible says? Says praise Him in the dance. Bible talks about leaping for joy. There's something that takes place when we begin to worship God with liberty. We begin to worship God with abandonment. And it's not just for introverts, and it's not just for extroverts. It's for whosoever will, let them come. And so here's what we're going to do in just a moment. We're just going to turn this into a house of praise. But I want to go very quickly before we close. I'll go back to Luke chapter 17. And I want to look at what Jesus told this man. Jesus, looking at this man who came back, He said, where are the nine? Jesus looked at him and He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. that there is a wholeness on the other side of your worship. There's a wholeness on the other side of your praise. You can hold back your worship if you want to, but I would tell you there is something missing in the depth of your soul. But there is a wholeness that comes when you just lay everything else aside and say, oh, Lord, I just got to worship you. Oh, Lord, I just got to praise you. Oh, Lord, I just got to lift up your name. I wonder if we just take a moment right now under all of this house. Somebody just begin to lift up your hands and you just begin in your own words. You just begin to talk to the Lord right now. Come on, in your own word. You just say.
Thank you for listening. Special thanks to those that give generously to this ministry. If you would like more information, please visit our website at landmarkapostolicchurch.net. But have a great day and God bless.